Revelation chapter 12. This chapter in Revelation was used greatly in my life. One, because of the message that we will get to in a moment. But also because it was this message preached down at Bob Jones that showed me that prophecy can be applied to my life. And I can claim promises from prophecy to get victory today. And that's what this chapter is, Lord willing, going to encourage us in. Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the awesome picture. The picture that shows us truths about your Son, and pictured and great pictures that our enemy is already defeated. He has no real power. But you are sovereign, and you give the victory. We thank you for this wonderful, at the same time, terrible picture. We pray that we will learn what you would have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that Satan is a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. Of course, actual lions, while they're hunting, are pretty quiet. They want to sneak up on their prey. And the imagery there of a roaring lion, there are some that might differ with this, but the imagery of a roaring lion is that Satan in that picture is just intimidating people to cower before him. He roars as a lion and people just, okay, I'll obey. I'm not going to try to fight you. You're way too strong for me. And they give in. And we do realize there is nothing in our power that we can do to overcome and defeat Satan. He is too strong for us. But it's not us who's fighting him. It's not us who has guaranteed the victory. It's the Lord, and he has already done that. What we're going to see in this passage is that Satan has already failed. He is defeated. And yes, he's going to cause as much trouble as he can. But we have the victory in Christ. We sang, "Be strong in the Lord." Why can we be strong in the Lord? Because he has won the victory and he has given the victory to us. We see in verses 1 through 6, Satan has already failed. And there appeared a great wonder. Now, there is a little distinction here. When we get the picture of Satan in a few verses, that's not a great wonder. But this first picture is something magnificent, wonderful. There is glory and greatness that goes along with this one. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This woman is the nation of Israel. She is glowing as the sun. She is glorious and beautiful because God chose her to be so." When God shines on his chosen ones, they glow, but not because of anything good in themselves. Not because Israel was just such a great nation that God just had to shine his light on them. He chose them, and so now they're beautiful. Now it's a glorious picture because of God and his choosing. In fact, even in chapter 12, and we'll get this a little bit more still, in chapter 12, most of the nation of Israel is still disobedient. This is actually referring to history when Israel brings forth the Messiah. But in all that time, even in their disobedience, God has chosen them. And there is glory in that relationship because of his choosing. The sun and the moon and the 12 stars is similar to Joseph's dreams, where he dreamed that the sun and moon and 12 stars, they were bowing to him. And it was a picture of Israel at that time as well. But this is the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel had an important job. The nation of Israel is important because God chose her to be important, but God chose that this was the nation where the Messiah would come from. And the child there that is being delivered is Christ. Israel produces the Savior, but it says in verse 2, "And she, being with child, cried." She was travailing in birth. She was experiencing the birth pangs. And Israel did experience trials. They experienced struggles. And the world around them, from before the Messiah was born and after the Messiah was born, up until now, the world hates Israel. Why does the world hate Israel? Because God chose Israel, and they hate God. Now, they wouldn't say that. They would say, they would give other excuses, but that's what it is. They hate the true God, and so, of course, they have to hate the ones that God has chosen to bless. That's why the world hates us, too. Verse 3, we see the other picture, and these two pictures are going to have conflict here. We have the nation of Israel already, and now We get another picture. As I said, this one isn't a great wonder. This is just another wonder, but it's not great. It doesn't have glory. It's supposed to be disgusting. It's supposed to be hideous because Satan is. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. This is a horrible monster. Now, in our day, Satan tries to hide himself as a being of light, and I'm going to give you pleasure. If you just follow me, you're going to have pleasure and enjoyment. But really, he is a horrible monster, and all he wants to do is destroy. And we're going to see this in this chapter, that Satan's desires is always to destroy, to kill. But here he is in this picture as a monster. Verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And there is some dispute on this, but many see this as when Satan deceived a third of the angels, and they were cast out and they became demons. Now, we're going to see Satan referred to as a deceiver. But think of who he already deceived there. He drew a third part of the angels. He is a really good deceiver. If he can trick a third part of the angels who were in the presence of God and draw them away, what hope do we really have to avoid his deceit apart from the power of God? And Satan isn't content with just the third part of the angels. He wants a lot more. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. His plan was to kill the child, Christ. And one attempt was made when Jesus was first born. We have Herod killing all of the children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. Satan tried his best to get that child killed. He tried again when Jesus grew up and in the temptation in the wilderness, tried to trick him, tried to use his deceit on Jesus. But Jesus, being able to overcome that, using scripture to defeat Satan, he won again. And then Satan finally thought he had him. He got the nation of Israel to turn on the Messiah that the prophecies were written down. They're in the Old Testament, but he convinced them. He blinded the eyes. They did not recognize the Messiah for who he was. And he said, I finally got him. They're going to kill him for me. And Satan thought, I got him. I put him to death. But Satan, his greatest accomplishment was actually God's victory. Because Christ lived the perfect life. And he chose to go to the cross to die. This wasn't Satan's victory at all. It was Christ's victory. He defeated death. And he defeated Satan. Satan failed. He failed over and over again. He can't win. He can't defeat the sovereign God, no matter how hard he tries. And so he wanted to devour the child. He wanted to devour the Messiah, but he couldn't. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now this is history and current here. But some stuff is skipped. He says, yes, the Messiah was born, and this is the one who is to rule all nations. That's future still. Even though he's sovereign now, his earthly reign is coming. He's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. So the Messiah was brought forth, and then the child, the Messiah, was caught up unto God. Well, there is something that skipped there. He does die. He does die, but he rose again. He defeated death. He conquered our sins. He is forgiven our sins. He has freed us from the power of sin. One day we will be freed from the very presence of sin. And he won. He came to earth. Israel brought forth the Messiah, but then the Messiah went back to where he belonged. He went back home, and he sits on his throne. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,200 and 70 days. That is the 3.5 years. The Lord kept the Savior safe, but the Lord keeps Israel safe as well. And here, this 1,260 days, this would be the last half of the tribulation period after the Antichrist cuts off the temple sacrifice and starts persecuting the Jews. And during this time, again, Israel, most of Israel is still unbelieving. It is not until the end of the tribulation. The Bible says that at the end of the tribulation that they will look at the one whom they have pierced and put their faith in him. But that's at the end. Right now, God is still protecting people that don't even obey him up until this point. But he is still protecting them. Why? Because he gave a promise. And God keeps his promises. Israel is intended to live in the right land for the earthly kingdom of the Messiah, what we refer to and we'll see later, Lord willing, as the millennial reign. But that was a promise, and God keeps his promise. And they will look on the one whom they have pierced. And they will, as a nation, be saved. But until then, God is keeping them safe. But Satan has already been defeated because God sent the Savior. He protected the Savior. And Satan is beaten. We already have the victory. Now, yes, we do look forward to when the victory becomes really apparent and Christ is reigning on earth. We look forward to that time. But we need to know right now, in our daily life, we already have the victory. We don't have to wait for it. And when Satan tries to defeat us and tries to trick us and say he's too strong for us and he throws those fiery darts at us, we don't have to give in. We can stand because we have the victory. And just like God keeps his promises to the nation of Israel, God has given promises to us as well. That says, he will never give us a temptation above that we are able, but will with the temptation give us a way of escape. He keeps his promises to us as well, and he protects us as well, and only what he allows to happen is going to happen to us, and whatever happens to us will work together for our good. Because God is good, and he has won the victory. There is nothing that I have done to win it. I've accepted the victory. But Satan has not already been defeated in the past. Satan will be fully defeated. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. So we're going from the past. We see Christ. Christ's life, his birth, his life, his ascension to heaven, and now we're skipping ahead into the future. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Now, some think, and it's likely that this happens around the midpoint of the tribulation, because the second half of the tribulation is the really, really hard time. The whole tribulation isn't going to be pleasant, but the last half is the time of Jacob's trouble. And so many believe that this is the midpoint, and he gets cast down. But there was war in heaven. Satan, he not only deceives the angels, he not only deceives man, but he deceives himself. He keeps fighting. He knows what's written here, but he keeps doing it. He deceives himself in his pride to think that he could possibly beat God. But he's fighting this war in heaven with Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. That would be the dragon, prevailed not. Satan fights and fights, and he wants to beat God, but he is not strong enough. And he will never beat God. And at this point, he is cast out of heaven. And the great dragon, verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, there is something that confuses people here, and they say, why is Satan still going to heaven? Why is he still able to be there now? Well, that is a question, but we know that it's the case. We can see it in Job. Satan goes, he presents himself before God, and he still gives a report. God talks to him. What are you doing? I'm roaming around the earth, and then God says, have you considered my servant Job? And there's that whole thing. So currently, he still has some access. Yes, he has already been kicked out. He's already been punished. He doesn't have the place that he had before, but he still has some access. But at this point, there is no more access. This is the finality of it. He is kicked out. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And one thing that he's not going to be able to do anymore is to go back to God and accuse the brethren. We'll get there just in a second. But hear how he is described in verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. How does he get people to follow him? All he wants to do is destroy him. So how does he get people to follow him? He's certainly not more powerful than God. Yes, he's more powerful than man without God. He deceives. He deceived Eve. He still deceives. Here is where you're going to get pleasure. God doesn't want you to have pleasure. God doesn't want you to have enjoyment and all these. He just wants to give you a bunch of rules, and he just wants to put you under his thumb, and he just wants. And I've seen so many young Christians. I've been a teen leader for long enough, and I've seen people go from youth group, and they're raised in a Christian family, and they're doing well, and they have a testimony, and they know the scripture, and they know what Satan's like, and they know the glory, the grace of Jesus Christ, and they leave that environment under the protection of the parents' home, and they start seeing the sins of the world, and Satan gets a foothold and deceives them and say, this life is better. The world is better. And they go along with it, and they start living like the world. Satan only wants to destroy them. He doesn't care if they give pleasure, if they get pleasure. And yes, many sins are pleasurable for a moment, but they reap destruction. and a broken relationship with God. And it saddens me how many Christian young people I have seen in my relatively short ministry grow up, and they've heard it all, and they just follow the beast. They follow this dragon instead of Jesus Christ who hung on the cross for them. He is the deceiver of the world. But he will be cast out. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice, verse 10, saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Do you hear this? He is the deceiver. And so he's going around to you and saying, "Look, these sins, these are really fun. These are really pleasurable. You should do these. Don't obey God, because he just wants to make you not have any fun." And so he's looking for you. He's trying to deceive you. Commit the sin. Commit the sin. You can do it. And then what does he do? He goes back to God and say, "You see that person that called himself a Christian? Look what he did. He failed you again. Get him." That's what Satan is doing. He is the accuser of the brethren. He makes himself out to look like your friend, but he is not. He is out to deceive you. The only way to conquer him is by being in the Word and abiding in Christ and having the close relationship with him. But he will be cast out. But we already have the victory. Look at verse 11. This again is the past, and it's going to work in the future, but it's in the past and it's now. Verse 11, "How do you overcome Satan?" They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ shed his blood to, yes, forgive you of your sins, but to free you of the power of sin. You don't have to sin ever again. Will you? Yes. But theoretically speaking, if you can last the next few seconds without sinning, the next few seconds without sinning, you can do it by his strength. But you can have victory the next time. But the only way to have victory is by focusing on the truth, the blood of the Lamb that he shed for you to give you power over Satan. And by the word of their testimony, they trust in Christ. They give their lives to him. I love this last line. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Here is the other problem. And here is how Satan deceives you again. He starts saying, pay attention to your own life and get as much pleasure out of this life as you can. And start seeking all these, because your life is short and you just need to get as much of the world as you can. It says the ones that have victory, they don't love their lives. They love their eternal life, their future destiny. And yes, they can live a better life now, because they're going to serve the Lord and they're going to do things that matter for all of eternity instead of focusing on all of the temporal things that will only last for the moment. They loved not their lives unto the death. But if your main focus in this world is your own life and how much you can get out of this world, Satan has already deceived you. You have to turn back to the Lord. And continuing on, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them," because Satan is cast out. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." He is cast out, but so he is going to do as much damage as he can possibly get in. That is his goal. I think that's already his goal. He knows this book. He knows Revelation. He knows that he already has a short time. It's going to be worse then, but he already knows that his time is short. And so he is going to cause as much problem right now as he can. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. But God protected her again. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That again is 3.5 years. From the face of the serpent, God protects the ones that he has chosen. The ones that he has given his promise to protect them to. He will keep his promise. So Satan sees, oh, I can't get to the woman, so I'm going to try one more tactic. Verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. If this is in Israel, which I believe it is, and when it says that she flew into the wilderness, she would have gone to the southernmost part of Israel or below, and where it is desert. And floods in the desert are quite extreme. They find any little pathway to get through and can be very, very severe, because deserts aren't intended to have a bunch of water. And so the serpent tries in this physical way, God won't let me get to him, and so I'm going to try this. And he sends the flood out toward him. And maybe I'll finally get him. But verse 16, God again, he's too strong. And he will continue the victory. And the earth helped the woman. Of course, God caused the earth to help the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. I don't see any reason why that isn't a literal thing that will happen. Verse 17, he says, okay, I can't get to the woman. I can't get to Israel, because God is protecting Israel. And he will protect her to the end of the tribulation, and she will turn to the Lord at the end. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. I can't get to her. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, if Israel's already safe and over there, who's left for him to attack? I believe this is a good indication that there are other saved people, both Jews and non-Jews, during this time of the tribulation period. I think we already saw that in one of the previous chapters. But I think we see that again here. There are other saved people. I believe we're raptured. We're gone. It's not the church, but there are other saved people who got saved during the tribulation period of various nations. Now, God is protecting Israel as a nation here, but he is not in the same way protecting these people. We already saw that he protects them in a different way by sealing them, and that they are going to be a witness to him. Many of them will be martyred. They'll go to heaven. We already saw all of those things in Revelation. But Satan is angry, so he changes direction. Israel at this point is still largely unsaved. We already talked about that. But God's protecting them because of his promise. But God allows this attack. He doesn't say that he gives these ones wings too and lets them fly away. He allows this attack. But why does he allow such an attack? Why would he allow Satan to still attack these? I think it has something to do with this. God allows a temptation because he's already given these people who are sealed the power for victory. And when he allows Satan to tempt and try to win, how much more glory does God get when his people reject that and have victory, and they can glorify God in it? The battle is difficult. Satan is not a weakling, and he's really good at deceiving. The battle is not easy, but God has given you the victory every time. So claim the victory. Our confidence is not in self to have the victory. It is claiming that the victory has already been given to me. Take it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this victory. I thank you for the hope that we have that one day we will not have to even be in the battle because we will be in eternity with you. But Lord, while we are here and we are still battling, Lord, show us your victory. Demonstrate that to us in our lives and convict us to put on the armor of God. Not love our lives, but love the life that you have given us. The victory that we have in your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.